Weird World.
Welcome to Our Weird World. I'm your host, John Henson, and today, looking at one story this week. I feel like after like the first year or so, I started just combining like at least three or more stories into a single episode because a lot of them were a little bit shorter and all of that. But sometimes we get one good big story, and that's what I have for you this week. The story of Terry Rasmussen. So not going to waste your time anymore. Let's jump into it. Terry Peter Rasmussen was born on December 23rd, 1943 in Denver, Colorado, but he grew up, spent his childhood in Arizona. After dropping out of high school during his sophomore year, he enlisted in the Navy and served 6 years before being discharged in 1967. 2 years later, he got married and had four kids, which he bonded with by using them to put out his cigarettes. So we are off into the sadness already. Here's the thing. Like, I don't get it. I was going to say I get it, but I don't, right? Like, babies and kids can be annoying, all right? Like, maybe you have a baby who screams nonstop for 30 minutes on the drive home, and then your day's ruined, and then as soon as you get him out of the car, he's all happy and laughing again. Not that I'm speaking from experience or anything, but like, as annoying as that is, I don't think I could like put a lit cigarette out on him. It just seems mean. And obviously it's child abuse. So like, you gotta be a real terrible person to do that. So I think we could all agree on that. It'd be funny if like someone was listening to be like, no, that's perfectly acceptable. That's what kids are for. They're just your own little ashtrays and just, and then that's it. No. In 1975, Rasmussen's wife left him after he was arrested for aggravated assault. And after showing back up to their house with a random woman in December, Rasmussen left for good and never saw his first wife or his kids ever again. So over the next couple of years, Rasmussen bounced around several states before finally settling in New Hampshire in 1978. He found a job as an electrician for an oil and gas company and began going by the name of Bob Evans. Now, that is very important to this story. I don't know what happened to him. It's not like he went off to war or anything. Like, he just served in the Navy for 6 years, and I don't know what happened to him in the Navy. I don't really know what happened to him during his childhood. Like, there's not a lot there that from sources that goes into that. Maybe he had a rough childhood. Maybe something happened in the Navy that really messed him up, but we don't know. But he leaves his first family, completely abandons them, never sees them again. And then he starts bouncing around. He finally settles in New Hampshire, and he completely turns his life around, right? Like he wants to essentially turn his life around so much that he abandons his old identity of Terry Rasmussen and he starts going by Bob Evans, and he's working on rebuilding his entire life and building the life that he always wanted. And so he's working as an electrician for this oil and gas company. Everybody in New Hampshire knows him as Bob Evans. And when he wasn't working as an electrician, Rasmussen was busy pursuing his life's ultimate goal of opening his own restaurant. And he was especially fond of just classic comfort food, you know, like the, not necessarily Southern comfort food, but just like the, you know, old, the Midwestern, you know, maybe some Southern comfort food, but like it's stuff that you would just basically find at a Thanksgiving dinner or like, you know, what you would make to warm yourself up on just a cold, rainy night, you know, just good, you know, what you would eat maybe when you're sick, stuff like that. He didn't like Cracker Barrel. He wasn't a fan of Cracker Barrel and the way they did things. And he had struggled to really find similar options in the Midwest and New England states. And so seeing that there was this big business opportunity in front of him, he worked tirelessly to build a restaurant that would ultimately be known for golden fried chicken, fresh sausage, mashed potatoes, macaroni and cheese, slow roasted turkey, other kinds of vegetables made from scratch, desserts, all that kind of stuff. And so as Rasmussen, he's working to open his first restaurant. He meets Denise Bowden and the two start dating. Denise was immediately attracted to Rasmussen's entrepreneurial spirit. And it also really helped that Denise's 6-month-old daughter really enjoyed his mashed potatoes. Weird. 6 months seems a little early to be going full mashed potatoes, but like, I don't know, man. Rasmussen, maybe he was making some real creamy mashed potatoes, and it was something that like a 6-month-old could really eat and really start that transition from like milk and formula to solid people food. After cooking a full Thanksgiving meal for her in 1981, though, Denise disappeared. Her family believed that she was having financial trouble and just skipped town. So, you know, her other family members didn't really suspect any sort of foul play. You know, Denise kind of had this reputation, like she's a single mother, always been kind of flaky. And they think, you know, she finally just, you know, left and just didn't tell anybody. For the next few years, Rasmussen, who's still identifying himself as Bob Evans, continued to actually care for Denise's 6-month-old daughter. He renamed her Lisa. He actually began telling everyone that he was her father and that, you know, the mother had abandoned them. In 1985, however, he was arrested for drunk driving in Cypress, California, under the name of Curtis Kimball. After failing to appear for his court hearing, Rasmussen then changed his name to Gordon Jensen and left Lisa at an RV park in Scotts Valley, California. So again, this story just took a really weird turn, right? And again, like sources on this guy, pretty sparse, you know, and you'll kind of see why later on. But again, all of a sudden, like he has this life, he's building up all this momentum in New Hampshire. And then for some reason, Denise disappears. He just takes care of Lisa, is now what he's calling her. And then now all of a sudden, you know, 4 years later, he's just out in California randomly. Why? I don't know. No one explains this. No one explains why he's back out in California. And he just abandons this now 4-year-old girl at an RV park. Now, while all of that is going on, and maybe this explains why he was in California, while all of that was going on, authorities back in New Hampshire had recently found the bodies of Marilise Honeychurch and 6-year-old Marie Vaughn stuffed inside a barrel in Bear Brook State Park near Allenstown, New Hampshire. These two women/girls had been missing since 1978. Right? Honeychurch had been dating Rasmussen at that time, like Denise Bowden, who had also disappeared 3 years later. Honeychurch had also disappeared on Thanksgiving Day after Rasmussen had made a remarkable Thanksgiving dinner for her. So, you know, authorities don't really know this yet, but now you can kind of see the picture that is starting to form, right? So, 1978 is when Rasmussen showed up in New Hampshire, and before he starts turning his life around, right, he actually starts dating Marilise Honeychurch. And, you know, at this point, like, he hasn't decided to start a restaurant yet. Like, he just enjoys cooking. And so he makes this big Thanksgiving meal for Marilise. And then that night, she disappears. 3 years later, now he's dating Denise. And the same pattern again. He makes this big Thanksgiving dinner. Denise disappears. Fast forward real quick, all the way to 2000. Authorities then found a second barrel just 100 yards from where they had found the bodies of Honeychurch and Vaughn back in 1985. This barrel, however, contained the bodies of 1-year-old Sarah McWaters and an unidentified child that forensic scientists later discovered was actually Rasmussen's biological daughter. Who the mother of this daughter was, I'm not sure, but again, crazy, right? So now we're starting to see some things come together. So go back to 1988. All right. 3 years after the first bodies are found in Bear Brook, Rasmussen was arrested under the name Jerry Mockerman for driving a stolen vehicle. And then when authorities found out who Rasmussen really was, he was actually like, they're like, oh, hey, you're the guy who abandoned your daughter at this RV park in California. And they give him a 3-year prison sentence for child abandonment, which is crazy because it really wasn't even his daughter. It was not biologically his daughter. It's crazy. Following his parole from this 3-year sentence, Rasmussen, again, he's like, okay, I really have to turn my life around. And, you know, everything needs to start happening, right? He really sinks into this restaurant, and he names it after the popular identity that he had in New Hampshire, Bob Evans, right? You've probably seen a Bob Evans restaurant somewhere, usually along the interstate. I know there are a handful around the Charlotte area. I've eaten at one before. Wasn't impressed. All right. Not my cup of tea. But the Bob Evans restaurant chain quickly explodes. All right. The restaurant's wildly popular, especially among older people in the Midwest. The sausage platters were the most popular items on the menu, which then led to Bob Evans Farms Incorporated, which was kind of the holding company that Rasmussen had to create to start franchising out the restaurants, because people wanted a piece of this. Like, this, it was incredible what was happening here. And he acquired Texas-based Owens Country Sausage as a way to keep up with the supply demands to keep all of his restaurants stocked with enough sausages. That sounds crazy, but that literally happened. Bob Evans Farms acquired a sausage company because their sausages were were so popular. I can't stress enough to you, that is a true statement. All right. You can look it up on Wikipedia, which has a source attached to it. Don't trust Wikipedia. It's sourced. By 1999, Rasmussen, who was now going by Larry Vanner so as not to attract the attention that came with owning a restaurant chain worth hundreds of millions of dollars, which, I mean, his name wasn't even Bob Evans to begin with, but that's who a lot of people knew him as. Rasmussen had returned to California, where he met a chemist named Yoon Soon Jun. The two fell in love, got married 2 years later in 2001, but a year later, June's body was found buried in cat litter inside their home after having sustained blunt force trauma to her head. At this point, like, Rasmussen can't get away. He was quickly arrested and given 15 years to life in prison on charges relating to June's murder and dismemberment. Now, while all of this is going on, I know this story is kind of all over the place. Lisa, quote unquote, Lisa, had still somehow remained connected to Rasmussen, mostly through the various child abandonment charges that he had been dealing with, even though, like, no one is convinced that Lisa is Rasmussen's biological daughter, even though that's what he had always told everyone. No one really believed it. So in 2003, the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department opened an investigation to actually try to find who Lisa's biological family was. And authorities quickly learned that, we all knew this, but Rasmussen was not actually Lisa's father, which unfortunately immediately disqualified her from inheriting any sort of equity and assets from Bob Evans Farms Incorporated, right? So, you know, Lisa, Maybe she thought, because, I mean, she wouldn't have known any different, right? She was 6 months old when her mom disappeared and Terry took her. And so, you know, she knows who Terry Rasmussen is. She knows that he is Bob Evans because, you know, as she's grown up, she knows, like, they've been briefly reconnected through all the child abandonment stuff that he was dealing with, right? Because she would have had to show up at the trial. You know, he had to claim her, all that kind of stuff, right? And so she knows, and she, you know, If something were to happen to Rasmussen, she would inherit all of that, right? Because her mom still hasn't resurfaced. She's gone somewhere. She would be the one to take over Bob Evans, or at least, you know, have the controlling namesake. Maybe she would have like some CEOs and some corporate executives working on all of that. But she would be like, but because of the DNA testing now, authorities say, no, you two are not biologically related at all. This disqualifies you from any sort of Bob Evans, you know, inheritance. Well, Terry Rasmussen ended up dying at age 67 on December 28th, 2010, while incarcerated at High Desert State Prison in California. Following his death, and he died, he was in prison, obviously, for the charges relating to murdering Yoon Sun-jun. Following his death, however, authorities continued to investigate Lisa's genealogy as well as the Bear Brook murders, right? Because you knew these were all connected, right? Like, I know this story has kind of gone all over the place. And that was really what was frustrating about trying to piece all of this together, right? Because I think Bob Evans, the restaurant corporation, as big as it is now, has done a lot to try to sweep its founder's dirty laundry away, so as not to distract from the corporation's continued growth and success, right? Because again, you know, as much as they've tried to hide it, like it's not like completely unknown. Like, I'm not breaking some wild story here, right? Like, it's public record. But again, just the way that they've, you know, kind of adjusted stories, silenced some sources, or made certain sources very difficult to find, telling this story was really difficult because it bounces around a lot. There's different things going on, and a lot of things weren't really connected up until the end. And thanks to the use of genealogy databases and DNA testing, authorities finally learned that Terry Rasmussen had perpetrated the Bear Brook murders, which is crazy. The owner and founder of Bob Evans Restaurant, all right, which this corporation brings in nearly $400 million in annual revenue, was the perpetrator of the Bear Brook murders. Five girls in New Hampshire murdered. Well, four plus Yoon Jun-soon. So five. The founder of Bob Evans Restaurants murdered five women. That's crazy. All right. And in addition to the five murders that they knew for sure he had committed, authorities also suspected that he was involved in two others. So it's possible that the founder of Bob Evans, the restaurant where you go and you get, let me look at their menu real quick. Like, check this out. Like, it really is like an alternative Cracker Barrel, right? Like, they sell breakfast. Let's start at breakfast, right? A caramel apple farmer's choice. Three buttermilk hotcakes or two slices of thick-cut brioche French toast topped with roasted apples, caramel, powdered sugar, and whipped topping. Plus, farm-famous breakfast meat, which is weird. That's a weird way to put that. They can't say sausage. It's just breakfast meat. That's concerning, actually. Two fresh cracked eggs and your choice of hash browns, home fries, or fresh-cut fruit. They've got biscuit platters. They got the double meat farmer's choice. They got a banana berry pancake plate, a breakfast bowl, even. Oh, they got a sirloin steak and farm fresh eggs, a country fried steak and eggs, Cinna biscuits. Those actually look pretty sweet. I would almost go to Bob Evans to try those. Let's see what else they have. Turkey and chicken, Southwest avocado chicken. They got hand breaded fried chicken, honey butter chicken, slow roasted turkey and dressing, grilled chicken, chicken and noodles, deep dish dinners. It looks basically like a chicken noodle soup, but without the soup, essentially. They got burgers. They got a double cheese pot roast dip. I know I'm dragging this out much longer. I'm actually just curious for myself. It's also lunchtime and I'm getting hungry. A little bit more. Sorry, we'll finish this up. Rancher barbecue beef dinner. Braised and barbecued beef layered atop crispy baby potatoes, cheddar, bacon, and ranch dressing, drizzled with sweet and smoky barbecue sauce and topped with thick-cut onion rings and green onions. Served with freshly baked dinner rolls. It's like a bowl. Fork tender pot roast. Like, how many restaurants serve pot roast? Not many. That's why the old people love going here. Mushroom and onion chopped steak, lemon pepper sole fillets, great Alaskan cod. Then they got, you know, desserts, pumpkin pie, pecan pie, turtle cheesecake pie, a holy cow chocolate cake, all kinds of stuff. Anyway, you get it. All right. You get it. And the owner and the person who created that restaurant and that menu definitively murdered 4 women in New Hampshire, plus his wife in California, and also just abandoned a random lady. Now, the one missing piece from this is Denise Bowden. And she's one of the two people that they think he also murdered, because she's still never been found. She's never resurfaced. So again, just absolutely crazy that just a long-standing restaurant franchise in America was founded by a serial killer. All right, there we go. The story of Terry Rasmussen in the books, just a lesser known serial killer. I really do think that the Bob Evans Incorporated, Bob Evans Farms or whatever, has really done a lot to try to kind of sweep a lot of this under the rug, to distance itself from its founder. A lot of corporations do this. They don't want to get canceled or anything like that. So let's recap though and see what we learned today.
What did we learn?
Number one, we don't know a lot about Terry Rasmussen's early life. We know he served in the Navy for 6 years, and then he just lost his mind and became a terrible person and like put out his lit cigarettes on his 4 kids, you know, which is crazy. Number two, he eventually settled in New Hampshire, decided to turn his life around, became an entrepreneur, and opened the Bob Evans restaurant chain and franchise. And then number three, for legal purposes, April Fools. I hope you bought all of that hook, line, and sinker. I've got to clean some things up now. Rasmussen actually had nothing to do with the Bob Evans restaurant chain. That was just coincidence. The restaurant itself was actually founded back in 1948, which ironically was like when Rasmussen was 5 years old. And the restaurant was founded by an actual guy named Bob Evans in Gallipolis, Ohio. Basically, Bob Evans, he initially owned a sausage farm in the nearby town of Rio Grande. It became extremely popular with the locals down in Gallipolis. Bob Evans Farms Incorporated then turned into this restaurant, specialized in sausages. Obviously, you know, all the stuff I read on the menu is now there. The Bob Evans Farms Incorporated, it actually did, though. So the whole bit about them buying a Texas-based sausage company, that was real. They did do that. But the incorporation split in 2017 with the restaurant chain being sold to Golden State Capital. There are currently 439 locations across 18 states and has absolutely nothing to do with Terry Rasmussen. Are you mad at me? Like, the Terry Rasmussen story is still true. I just threw all that extra stuff about Bob Evans in there because this is the first time that April Fool's Day has been on a Monday. And so I had to. Like, you know, if you've listened to this show for a while, you know that I'm prone to a really good misdirection every now and then. And so I saw that April Fool's was happening on a Monday this year. I had to go balls to the wall, full on, full episode misdirection, and I feel pretty proud of myself. So hopefully it was convincing. Hopefully you feel silly and that you got. So that is it. Thank you. So hang on. Wait a minute. I need to tell you what next week. Next week, we're covering two stories. I'm not going to misdirect you at all, I don't think. But we're looking at the stories of two just terrible people. Kind of serial killers, but just generally awful people. We are looking at the stories of Tamara Samsonova and Marcus Wesson. So hopefully you're not too mad at me to not come back next week to listen to those, but thank you for continuing to listen. Let me know if I got you. All right. Reach out to me. Let me know if I had you convinced, at least for a second, that the owner of Bob Evans Restaurants was actually a serial killer. That will make my day. So please let me know. And that's it. Thanks so much for listening. Keep telling all your friends. Hey, see if they fall for this crap, and keep it weird.